Good morning. Thank you for joining our weekly tourism industry call. I'm Tamara Pigott with the Lee County Visitor and Convention Bureau. I'd like to turn things over this morning to our BOCC and TDC Chairman, Commissioner Brian Hammond. Commissioner, you will need to hit star 2 to unmute yourself, sir.
Hey, good morning, Tamara. Thank you so much, and good morning to everybody on the call. I really appreciate the opportunity to provide an introduction, and just wanted to say, you know, we've passed the 6 months mark since Hurricane Ian. September 28th was that day, and knowing that many of the programs that FEMA had put in place to help us respond to Hurricane Ian would expire at the 6 month mark, I had scheduled a trip to Washington, D.C. Around the 22nd of March to go ahead and try and unstick anything that was stuck and make sure that any programs that needed to be renewed were renewed. And so that's what I was going to tell you about this morning, my trip to Washington, D.C. We had a very productive trip to the nation's capital. We did meet with FEMA, and actually, as we were before we even went to the meeting, as we were preparing, they actually extended a couple programs that we were asking them to extend, the temporary shelter assistance program. And they also gave us a ruling on the 50% rule. You may remember back in February, they said that we should not rely on property appraiser, Lee County property appraiser's values to determine the 50% rule value for folks who are rebuilding. Well, FEMA walked that back completely while we were up there in Washington, which was great. They came down and honored our request to look at the program and understand that the values in Florida and specifically in Lee County are fine and trustworthy. And I met with Senator Scott's office, Senator Rubio's office, Congressman Byron Donalds, Congressman Greg Stube, and Congressman Vern Buchanan. All of them are extremely supportive of our area and helping to make sure that we get fully recovered. And what's great is Donalds and Stube both have Lee County as part of their district, and Congressman Vern Buchanan, who is on the All-Powerful Ways and Means Committee, he has a home on USEPA. So we have a lot of good connections in Washington, D.C. to Lee County. And again, they're all working hard, leaning on the agencies to make sure they get us going. One of the updates that we got at the Board of County Commissioners meeting this week was related to traffic. I think we've all, you know, obviously I hear about it every day, the struggles that everybody has with their commute times and traffic out there. And so a big part of the problem has been that our detection system is not working correctly since Hurricane Ian. The system that links all of the intersections together, we have the ability to control those intersections and retime the lights to make sure that they flow. Supposedly, if it's working correctly, you would flow from one green light to another. And that system, while not perfect, was working a lot better pre-storm than it is today. And so the Board of County Commissioners has given our team the go-ahead to begin fixing that system with or without reimbursement. The big hang-up there was that the Federal Highway Safety Administration wanted to completely review the plan to fix all 103 of the intersections that were down. We have more than 400 intersections in Lee County, and all of them sustained damage in some way. They wanted to go through the full review and give us the sign-off to begin fixing those before we even touched them. And, you know, we're already at 6 months past landfall now. We can't wait any longer. I want to get the traffic fixed up. I want to make sure that on September 28th of 2023 here, the one-year anniversary of Irma, or of Ian, rather, we've got that fixed and our community's back on its feet, at least from that standpoint. So we're pushing hard. The commissioners are really moving things forward. We're absolutely supportive of the tourism industry and what Tamara and her team are doing to try and make sure that we can get folks here from the drive market and have the best summer season we can have. And I think with that, Tamara, I'm happy to answer any questions I can. And again, just want to convey that we're extremely supportive. We understand how important the tourism industry is and the jobs that come with it. And we want to make sure that we get everybody recovered. And honestly, for me, I've been setting goals like that every 6 months. You know, I knew what we wanted to have accomplished 6 months into the cleanup. We wanted to make sure that we had all the debris off the ground, and we did. And then now by the 1 year mark, I want to make sure that everything's functional. It may not be completely rebuilt or completely restored, but we want to have this county back to completely functional for our residents and our businesses.
All right, Commissioner. Well, we appreciate your update this morning. Thank you for sharing with us. And of course, we very much appreciate the support. Does anyone have a question for Commissioner Hammond? If so, please hit star 2 to unmute yourself and feel free to ask him while we have him on the call. Commissioner, sometimes they're very quiet.
There you go. That's fine with me.
If we get a question later and you're not still with us, sir, I will definitely send it your way, okay?
Yeah, I'll hang on till about 9:15. Thanks, Tamara.
Okay, thank you. All right, up next, we are very pleased to have Ranger Tony Westland with us this morning. Tony, we are all so excited that the refuge reopened earlier this week, and we welcome your update on the happenings at Ding Darling. Just remember, you need to hit star 2, Tony, to unmute yourself.
All right. Good morning, everybody. I think, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Perfect. Thanks so much. Thanks for having me. This is very exciting. It's been a long week. It's been a long 6 months for everybody. I want to, first of all, thank everybody who came to the opening on Tuesday. Huge milestone for everybody to get reopened. Tarpon Bay Explorers, I want to start by, we're kind of this perfect trifecta. I'm the federal government, but we have a concessionaire, Tarpon Bay Explorers. They opened February 1st, so we wanted to get them open first. They laid off 33 people. They have 3 employees right now. They've lost their trams, their boats, their bikes, everything, but they are providing kayaking. So we've downsized our concessionaire. So if anybody wants to get on the water, Tarpon Bay Explorers is the way to go to support them. So they're the business part of Ding Darling. And then, of course, there's the Friends Group, the Ding Darling Wildlife Society. And people have been so great to help them out. They lost all of their office below us. So their office building is below our office I'm standing in right now. 6 feet of water was sustained here at the refuge and about 5 feet just down the road at our maintenance center. So since the Friends Group has lost everything, they support us. People have been great of doing shopdingdarling.com. They've had events, Sounds of the Sands at Bell Tower. So the community's just really opened up to our Friends Group, which has been awesome. So those are the 2 legs of the 3-legged stool, and it's the federal government, us. We reopened the visitor center, the wildlife drive, the trails, including the Bailey Tract, all on Tuesday. And so we're excited to have that. Things are going to look a little rough out here, but it's open. It's bikeable, hikeable, drive your car. You know, we're extremely accessible. Send people our way. Fees have been reinstated. So $10 per vehicle and $1 per hiker or biker. And that's good for the day. Keep your receipt. And so very good value. We wanted to get people back out enjoying nature. I have to say, the visitor center, we have a long way to go. Even though we are open, we're going to be closed completely on Friday. And as you all know, in the past, the wildlife drive was closed on Friday. We give wildlife a break from a million people, and they do need a break too. But so do we. So we've decided to close the visitor center so we can actually keep the contracting going. We have temporary AC. We have giant tubes coming in. We've got a roof that needs to go on. We need to repair solar panels. We've lost all of our vehicles, boats, golf carts, gem carts. So all of that obviously takes some time with the government to get it back up and running. So on Fridays, we will be working. It's just trying to continue the hurricane cleanup. The Bailey Tract, great place to hike and bike. We've got a mindfulness trail. We're missing some signs there. We still have groups coming out to help clean that up. So there is still lots of trash now, more hidden in the mangroves that we're having to pull out. Thank you to people that were coming every single week since December and signing up on Eventbrite and other groups, high schoolers from St. Louis. And I mean, I can't even mention all these groups that reached out to us. We got a group coming from Tampa next weekend. So people, the support and just wanting to get reopened has been outstanding. We're so excited to be open. I have to tell you, there are some changes. The Wildlife Drive, you drive your car, you bike it, you hike it. It's awesome. You know, it took 6 months to shore it up. There were huge holes on the sides of the road that I could stand in, and I'm 5 feet tall, and I could just look under the road. I mean, that's why it took that long to shore it up. But two major spots along the Wildlife Drive are still closed and will be closed until we can get them rebuilt. And that is the Mangrove Overlook, which every tram stops at and school kids, and then the Colusa Shell Mound Trail at the end. So those will be closed. They're secured and closed. You can still go along the Wildlife Drive, make your stops on the right-hand side, enjoy. The tower is standing like a beacon, like the lighthouse. Our tower is standing. It was so exciting to see that right after. One huge change that is a huge safety feature is the end of the Wildlife Drive. The last one-third of a mile becomes a two-way road. And this is because we are good neighbors to Colusa Shores. There is a subdivision at the end of the Wildlife Drive. Their bridge blew out. 22 homes were not able to access their properties. So they drive backwards on the Federal Wildlife Drive for a third of a mile. We have it properly signed. We have added a double line down the center so people know it's two lane, but just be very careful if we can tell people there. That is a huge change at the end of the Wildlife Drive. We need them to be able to access their property till their bridge can be rebuilt. So those are the changes that were closed all on Fridays. We've got a two lane road now. We've got a few structures out, but we are so happy and excited to be open. One last plug I need to say is we are having our second annual Conservation Carnival at Lakes Park on Earth Day this month, April 22nd. Lakes Park and all you guys are a great partner with us to be able to take Ding Darling off island. We have over 20 exhibitors of our conservation partners. We play games. You can dunk Ranger Tony. I'm looking for dunkies. So if anybody wants to be a celebrity dunky that day, I will take you. And a rock climbing wall. And we're giving out free ice cream from the concessionaire there. We're paying to help out the concessionaire at Lakes Park. So people will get free ice cream. And it's just a really fun way to say thank you to the community, but also to bring Ding Darling and all of our partners together at Lakes Park. Such a beautiful park. So that's, I think, everything I wanted to say. I could talk about this all day.
All right, Tony. Well, we very much appreciate the update. A few VCB staffers and I were out for the ribbon cutting and took the time to explore Wildlife Drive to see what that experience would be like. And certainly, you know, no doubt we had a hurricane. That shows. But it was also exciting to see the trees starting to come back, the wildlife present, and, you know, I still think it's a positive experience for our guests.
Great.
Thanks
so much.
Does anybody have a question for Tony? You do have to unmute yourself, star two. Tony, I really appreciate you joining us this morning. Great update, and again, super excited to have you guys back online.
Thank you.
All right. Up next for us is Jeff Mielke for a sports update. Jeff, again, I know I say it all the time, but it's easy to forget. Unmute yourself by hitting star two when you're able to.
Hey, Tam, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, everyone, appreciate the opportunity to give you a quick sports update. We just came out of spring training. You probably saw newspaper articles that talked about attendance figures, things like that. We were down a tiny bit in attendance, but both teams still exceeded the 100,000 fan mark, which is always exciting for us. And I think more than anything, it was just able to get Lee County back to feeling a little bit normal. We haven't had a normal spring training since, I think, the 2019 season. So it was just good to have everything flowing and the ballparks back open again. We did Lee County was the host site for the Geico basketball, high school basketball nationals, which was on ESPN. Many of you may have seen it. It was some great basketball. You know, we're excited. There was an announcement a couple days ago that Iowa women are going to play in the Gulf Coast Showcase down at Hertz Arena this year, which they were in the women's final championship game. And then, you know, we're really gearing up for the Fort Myers tip-off, which is going to have Wisconsin, Virginia, West Virginia, SMU in it, as well as men's and women's teams yet to be determined. We have some amateur events coming up. A lot of them are hockey-oriented at Hertz Arena. They're basically college hockey showcases. We've got a youth volleyball event in April 14th through 16th, which is a fairly large event. We have women's bowling state championships will come in May for 3 weeks, which is a great economic impact event for us. And then tonight is opening night for Mighty Muscles, and I think somebody from Mighty Muscles might be on the call. Is Chris or Judd or anyone from Mighty Muscles on? You want to talk about opening night tonight?
Yes. Jeff.
Okay, there you go.
Hey, Jeff.
Chris, go ahead.
Chris. I'm here. We're really excited. It was a great spring training, and we kick off tonight with opening night. It's a really fun night for us. Obviously, opening night's always great, but you know, given everything this past year with the, you know, the storm and everybody in the community, we're doing free tickets tonight for all first responders and their families. So really wanted to say thank you to everybody in the area for just everybody pitching in. So any first responders get in tonight for free for them and their families, and then kick off 66 home games starting tonight. We're home tonight, tomorrow, Saturday, big Easter egg hunt Saturday before the game, and just excited the season's here, and can't wait to see as many people out here this summer as possible.
Thanks, Chris. Do you guys have, if people want more information on your special events and things coming up, where do they go for that?
Yeah, so our website, mightymuscles.com, on the main page, there's a tab right there that says tickets and promotions, and all of our promotions for the season are listed there. With our 66 home games, we have multiple promotions going on every game. So we always have a lot of fun stuff going on, whether it's, you know, the 2-for-1 hot dog, soda and beer on Tuesdays, or Friday fireworks, Sundays kids run the bases, plus a lot of fun stuff we do with, you know, some concerts here and there, you know, giveaways every Saturday. We have a lot of fun stuff. So it's going to be a great summer.
I know there are a lot of hoteliers on this call. I got to tell you, the Mighty Muscles are a great place to take your staff for an outing, for, you know, just a, you know, a staff appreciation function, things like that. So please don't hesitate to call Chris or anybody over at the Mighty Muscles. It's a great, affordable, family fun evening. We take our kids there all the time, and it's a lot of fun. So and I think this summer, more than any summer, we need to continue to support the local businesses and local activities that we have in our community, and let's make sure everybody gets through this summer.
Thanks, Jeff. And anybody that wants to reach out to me for anything, I'm always here, and you know, I'm always available.
Awesome. Tam, that's my report. In case, unless anybody has some questions, they certainly just let me know.
Anybody have any questions for Jeff? All right, I'm going to move on to the VCB update. Star indicates that hotel occupancy for the week of March 26 through April 1 was 75.1%. with an ADR of 219.72 and a RevPAR of 165.05. This month, our sales staff will be on the road attending a Destination Celebration show in Minneapolis and Kansas City, and our UK contractor will cover the Travel Bulletin Family Holiday Showcase in London on April 27th. Couple of reminders. Some of these I gave last week, but always good to give them again. We will soon be launching the 23 edition of the Sun Saver Passport. If your business falls into the category of sip, play, shop, or dine, and you want to be involved, please reach out to Vanessa Gomez on the marketing team. Obviously, we will be, you know, heavily pushing the Sun Saver Passport to potential visitors for this, you know, the period ahead. So if you want to have a deal on there, please reach out to Vanessa. Her email address is vgomez@leegov.com. And a friendly reminder, there's no cost to participate in that Sun Saver Passport. Our events marketing program opens with a webinar on April 12th. So for our local events organizers, please be sure to sit in on that webinar on April 12th. You can get more details at leevcb.com. Also, we will have our attractions marketing kickoff with a webinar on May 17th. So those are two dates you want to have on your calendar if you want to participate in those programs. And then lastly, there is an SBA loan workshop being hosted by Lee County. Economic Development Team has been pushing this message out. We shared it earlier this week, but it's tonight from 4 to 6 p.m. at Lakes Regional Library on Bass Road. You are welcome to walk in. You do not have to have an appointment, but be sure to bring your application number with you. There will be SBA processors there to work with you. And I know these loans have been a bit of a challenge. Really great opportunity to get face-to-face with a SBA loan processor. So with that, I'm going to open things up, giving you the opportunity to ask questions, offer feedback, or share information about what's going on within your business or organization. Just remember, you'll have to hit star 2 to unmute yourself.
Hi, Tamara. This is Rick Perry with your...
Hey, Rick.
With your strategy partners. How are you today?
I'm good.
Well, I'd like to share a little bit about the employer retention credit that we've been helping local businesses with, restaurants and many more, because we've helped put back about $15 to $20 million into business owners' pockets here in Southwest Florida with the employer retention credit, which has made a big difference to those businesses that have received the credit. And I want to just to share with everybody, because I know there are a lot of restaurants and hoteliers on the phone and maybe even some attractions people, but the employer retention credit is a payroll tax credit. And even if it comes back to your business in the form of a refund check. So you actually get a refund check. And it's based on the quarter that you qualify. So there are 6 quarters that you can qualify for. And the 6 quarters, that means you can get 6 refund checks. And the thing is, many business owners don't know that this exists, or they get it confused with the PPP. And the PPP was a loan, but the employer retention credit, the ERC, is an actual payroll tax credit where you get a refund check. So they're two different things. And if you did qualify for the PPP, you're likely to qualify for the ERC. So, and really a couple main things that, and we know this happened with restaurants and hotels and so forth, but if your business was shut down due to a government order in 2020 or 2021, or if your business revenues dropped below a specific point in 2020 and 2021 compared to 2019, or if you had to change your business operations, or you've had supply chain issues that were due, then it is possible that you can qualify. It's fairly easy process to qualify from the standpoint of if you've done your PPP, a lot of the PPP documents that you provided I heard you mention SBA and so forth. A lot of people did work with the SBA on the PPP. Those are the same documents that we would need to help qualify you for the ERC. And we also do a short questionnaire with you on how the pandemic affected your business, how it affected your hotel, your restaurant, or any other small business. So it's really important that if you are going to apply for the ERC, that you apply very soon, because there is a three-year look back from the standpoint of when the government will actually fund the ERC. And so at the end of the second quarter of this year, that would be the 3-year look back to June 30th of 2020. That quarter comes to an end, and that quarter was pretty vital for a lot of businesses here in Southwest Florida. So we will lose that quarter on July 1st. So it's very important that if you are going to do the ERC, that you start it soon so you don't lose that second quarter of 2020. We've helped a lot of local restaurants, like I said, as an example. Whether it was in Fort Myers Beach or Cape Coral or Bonita Springs and many other areas. They've been able to use it to help basically stay afloat, to get them through some tough times. But you can use the refund check for whatever you like, for your business, because it does come back in your business's name. So we provide a free estimate for all businesses. There's no obligation for you to continue after you see if you qualify and what you get. So I think it's important, you know, that you can, once you get that free estimate, then you can decide if it makes sense that you want to claim your credit or not. But for most businesses that we've done in Southwest Florida, we're talking that they've received hundreds of thousands of dollars each. So it is definitely worthwhile for most Southwest Florida businesses. We like to say if you have like 7 to 10 employees or more, the employer retention credit is probably well suited for your business. And I'll be glad to answer any questions about it.
All right, Rick, let's see if anybody has any questions. But while we're waiting for the potential questions, Rick, do you want to tell them how to get in touch with you if they would like your help with this program?
Sure. It's my email is Rick, R-I-C-K, at yourstrategypartners, that's partners with an S, .com. yourstrategypartners.com. Rick at yourstrategypartners.com. And if you want to call me, you can reach me at 239-603-9992. And while we work with a lot of CPAs to help their clients, we also work with the business owners directly. And so, you know, we've been told sometimes that, you know, because the CPAs are so busy this time of year during tax season, and sometimes they just aren't able to help you with different things, and so that's why they use us as a resource, and we're more than pleased to work with you, and we're local. You may have heard some advertisements around on radio or TV or whatever, but I can tell you that we're local here in Southwest Florida, helping Southwest Florida businesses.
All right. And it doesn't look like anybody has any questions, Rick, but we appreciate the information. Does anybody else have anything they'd like to share? All right. Well, with that, I want to wish everyone a very happy Easter this weekend, and we will not be having a call next week. That's because we will be having our TDC meeting. Our next call will be on Thursday, April 20th at 9 a.m. using the same call-in info as today. Thank you so much, and again, happy Easter.